Being Green is brought to you by Galinda Moser of RE/MAX Living.
Hello, I'm Glynis Crook. The Cape Leopard Trust is celebrating its 20th year of working to ensure the survival of this apex predator. Classified by the International Union for Conservation of Nature as vulnerable, these highly elusive animals survive in the fynbos biome of the Cape Fold Mountains. Well, to find out more about them, I'm joined now by the Trust's CEO, Helen Turnbull. Helen, welcome to the program. Tell me first about the Cape Leopard. How different are they to the normal African leopard?
Good morning, Glynis. The African leopard is a lot larger than the leopards in the Cape. And what's fascinating is the leopards in the Cape have adapted to be much smaller. We surmise that this is because of the vegetation and the landscapes they're moving in. It's very different to the bush and the savanna. They are much more elusive. So, and Cape leopard will be approximately half the mass of a bush leopard, but they are incredibly interesting in that they have huge territories, and where a bush leopard will have a territory of about 10 square kilometers to find food and look for a lady friend, our leopards in the Cape require a lot more space, and their territories can be sometimes up to as much as 100 square kilometers. Gosh. So apart from the mass and the size is important, they're small animals, but they have huge landscapes to cover. And I think that's what makes our job very interesting.
Is that because of difficulty finding food or just because of their nature?
Generally, we assume it is because of the availability of food. The landscape in the fynbos is very different, and to find their diet requirements, such as the diet of a Cape leopard is usually something like a small bokki or a porcupine, or they're opportunistic hunters, so they'll take hares and small animals as well. But yes, it's essentially because of availability of food.
I read somewhere that one of the biggest problems that they face is to do with conflict with farmers who accuse them of stealing their cattle. And is that really a problem? Because you've not mentioned them in the list of foods.
We've discovered, actually, from some diet analysis we've done over the years, that livestock forms a very small part of a leopard's diet. However, we do know that farmers assume that leopards are the main killers of their livestock, and that can be quite a difficult issue to deal with and lead to conflict between farmers and wildlife. We do a lot of work with kind of, how can I call it, conflict resolution between livestock and humans. And some of that is things like talking to farmers and helping them to understand how they can better protect their livestock. But also when there is a predation incident, trying to sit down with the farmer and really discuss what has happened. Has he got a vulnerability in the areas where he's trying to protect his livestock? And also to look very closely at the dead carcass. It's almost like a crime scene investigation. You can see from the shape of the bite marks on a body that it's not necessarily a leopard that's killed the livestock, but it's often assumed that it's a leopard that's killed livestock. And we do find that often it can be community dogs that have formed a pack and hunting together. That has become quite a big issue for us now with livestock losses, where a leopard will be always the first predator that's blamed for the loss.
So what are the other main threats apart from the farmers?
In the Western Cape and actually across Africa, one of the biggest threats we're facing currently is snaring, illegal hunting with wire snares. So we are trying to address that with a snare aware campaign.
They are listed as vulnerable, the Cape leopard. Do we have any idea how many of them are left?
Glynis, that's a hard question to answer. We actually work on the amount of animals in a particular section. So we look at how many animals per 100 square kilometres. And generally across the Cape, they are about 1.52 or 1.5 leopards per 100 square kilometres that still thrive and survive in this incredible landscape.
So very few of them, to all intents and purposes, left. But why are they so important to the ecosystem in the Western Cape?
The Western Cape has such incredible biodiversity, and that is down to the way the landscapes are balanced. Leopards are ecosystem engineers. They are very essential to, as an apex predator, to the balance of the ecosystems. And it's actually the leopard that helps to keep everything else in check. If we were to lose a great predator like the leopard, it would not just be a great loss to us generally. It would also be a loss ultimately to the whole of the environment that we so enjoy living in. Leopards are essential to keeping the landscapes healthy.
Apart from conservation, your organisation also conducts research and monitoring projects. How can listeners get involved?
Listeners can get involved by going onto our website and joining our data portal, where they can submit any pictures or any signs they may see of leopards while they're out hiking and cycling. And that's a great way to get involved as a citizen scientist. We obviously love to have a donation if there's anything coming along, because we are totally dependent on public support. And also we occasionally have volunteering opportunities which are publicised on our social media.
And that website?
It's www.capeleopard.org.za.
Thank you so much to Helen Turnbull, CEO of the Cape Leopard Trust. And that's it for this week. From me, Glynis Crook, take care and goodbye.
Being Green was brought to you by Galinda Moser of RE/MAX Living.
For Galinda Moser, founder of RE/MAX Living, life is all about people, their homes, the environment, and of course, music. Because of Galinda's passion for property, RE/MAX Living has become the largest property office in Cape Town. When selling your home, email galinda@remaxliving.co.za. As your trusted property partner, RE/MAX Living is by far the best way to sell and buy real estate. RE/MAX, the leaders in real estate.